Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's lovely to be here with you. Thank you, Wayne. Thank you for that explanation of what a missionary is. do I not get a chocolate? Okay, maybe later. So it's really a great blessing for me to be here. My wife, Perus, should have also been here. She sent her apologies. She's not feeling very well. And I think, to be honest, a lot of it is down to the emotional stress and, with everything that's been going on over the last couple of weeks in Armenia and in Nagorno-Karabakh, it's really taken it out of her. And so I'd appreciate your prayers for us and for our team in Armenia and of course, for the people there. And what I want to do is give you a little bit of a report, I suppose, about the situation there. Although I'm sure many of you are aware of what's going on, a lot of coverage has been in the news over the last few days. But I want to bring it to a more personal level as well. And talk about some of the people that we know, and also just talk a little bit about what we're doing, and as we've already mentioned, talk about what we're trying to do to get the gospel out. You know, this is the most important thing we can do, is to give people the message of the good news of the gospel. And we firmly believe that yes, we should help people with their needs, and that's one of our objectives, to try and do that, to try and help people who are not as fortunate as us. But if we stop there, if that's all we can do, then we haven't given them the most vital help that they need, and that is the knowledge of the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We serve a risen Savior. We serve a God. We've sung about this God, a great God, a God who loves us, a God who sent his Son into this world, into this broken and very messed up world. And of course, one day we know that God is going to come back, and that the Lord Jesus will return, and everything will be corrected. Let's start just by talking a little bit about Armenia. And if I move to this side here, then I can... I suppose I'm all right where I am. So where is Armenia? It's absolutely vital that we're all on the same page, that we know we are talking about Armenia. As I said, it's been in the news, so there shouldn't be much confusion. But it's a country which otherwise you don't hear very much about. It's a small country, ex-Soviet, with a relatively small population. And it's located in a part of the world where through the decades, in fact through the centuries, there's been turmoil. And you can maybe just make out on the map there, the little red blob is Armenia, and next to it you've got Turkey and Azerbaijan, and to the south Iran, then to the north, Georgia, and then further beyond, Russia. And you've got some very big powers who sort of meet together. They congregate in this area, and Armenia is sandwiched in between there. Of course, we've heard what's been going on over the last few days with the attacks and then the exile. But this situation started decades ago, actually. And I'm not going to go into the political details, but just to say the people of Nagorno-Karabakh, the Armenians who have been living there, have suffered tremendously over the last few years. From December last year, there was a blockade. So The only route into have I got a pointer on here? No. So the only route into Karabakh or Artsakh, as it's called, was this was where the little red road on the right-hand side is there. And that was blockaded, which meant that no food could get in, no medical supplies could get in, and people couldn't get out. And you have a population of 120,000 people who were effectively cut off from the rest of the world. Many of them have been on the point of starvation for many, many weeks, and many have suffered because of lack of gas, lack of electricity, no fuel. And then a couple of weeks ago, Azerbaijan started to drop bombs, and within 24 hours, they surrendered. Hundreds of people were killed just in that time alone. But that adds on to the already thousands of people that had been killed previously in 2020 and before that in the 90s. So this is an area where there's been a lot of loss. And now, of course, as you've no doubt seen on the news, people are leaving. There's been this mass exodus of people trying to get out of the country and go to Armenia. And, you know, it's difficult maybe for us to imagine what that means. Well, you just leave everything. You leave the place that you've grown up, you leave your home, and you have to flee just with a few possessions. And it speaks a lot about the fear that these people have. You know, for a whole population to get up and leave a country says a lot. Now, Azerbaijan have supposedly been given assurances that everybody's going to be all right, the Armenian population are going to be integrated. But it's clear that the Armenians who were living there didn't believe that. And we have first-hand accounts of many people who have died and tragic circumstances. And so you've got now this huge problem, 100,000 plus people who have moved into Armenia, which in itself is only a small country with a population of, as I said, 3 million people, still suffering from the first lot of refugees that came in following the 2020 war, and many Russians who've come, 150,000 Russians who've come to Armenia. You can imagine the pressure this puts on things, on the housing particularly. House rents have gone up. But these people who have fled have thankfully remained alive, they've finally got to safety, although the needs are great. A few days ago, Baroness Cox, who is in the House of Lords, she was warning of this genocide, this possible genocide. And it's for that reason that these Armenians have left. After already gone through terrible suffering, they weren't prepared to face any more. So that's the situation. And I would ask that you would pray for these people, pray that they find somewhere to live, they find some comfort, and pray for them during this immediate time where many are suffering from long-term hunger and all the trauma, as I said, that they've gone through from losing their homes and in many cases losing loved ones. Again, we know many families who've lost family members during this last conflict. One lady who lost four members of her family in one go. People who've lost their children. A school was bombed and a number of children were killed. It's horrendous what's been going on. So what can we do? Well, we certainly don't want to throw our hands up in despair. We have a God who knows. We can come to him and find comfort. And with that comfort, we can pass that on to others. The Bible talks about that. But we can do practical things as well, like helping with aid. And actually, this photograph is from a few months ago when we sent our last container out to Armenia. That aid, thankfully, is now being able to be distributed to these very needy refugees, but much more is needed. Many, many more people are going to be coming to our office. And in fact, they've already started to come for help. And these are on top of the people that we normally help. The normal business is still going on. People who haven't necessarily been directly affected by the fighting, but they still need the help. So these are just some of the examples of people that we've helped, aid that we give, clothes and disability equipment, people who are refugees, but also who have been living in tremendously poor housing. In many cases, it's like living, well, I was going to say it's like living in a garage, but it's worse than that in many cases. Many of these families have young children, and children who have just been growing up in ongoing poverty. Let me go back again. This seems to be... food parcels. So we help many individual families with food. And again, that's been a big area of need for these refugees. We bought a big consignment of food a few days ago, and we've already had a stream of people coming for food parcels. I think one day we had 24 families came for food, and every single one of them hungry and in great need. This lady is receiving a school bag. This lady is someone that we've helped for some time now. She's not a refugee. She's not lost her home, but she lives in a very, very difficult set of circumstances. She has two sons, one of which is healthy, the other, unfortunately, is very ill. And she lives in a place which is very difficult to get to, in a village just outside of the capital. This is her son, who is he's disabled and has various health problems. So these are people that we meet, that we, in some cases, like this lady, Anoush, we know well. These people continue to need the help. But on top of that, there's, as I said, all the refugees. So we are still helping with things like clothes. Someone asked me at the beginning, do we still need clothes? Yes, we do. We still need clothes. We also need other things as well. I've got a list of them up on the screen here. But I do have a printed list here, which will be in the back hall afterwards. So please feel free to take one, or you can go onto our website. These are all items which are absolutely vital, absolutely necessary, particularly for the refugees. But again, for those who are just suffering from the long-term poverty that they find themselves in, which has been made worse by these rising house prices. Many people rent, and house rents have just gone through the roof. So it's a great help to be able to provide at least some of these items to them. Also, if anybody would like to get involved helping out with volunteering, we have a base up in Sutton Bridge in Lincolnshire. If you'd like to get involved with that, your help would be much appreciated. I know some people come and help on the days when we load up the containers. But if you'd like to help more regularly, then again, please talk to me afterwards, or send us an email through the website. Your help would be very much appreciated. I want to just move on and talk a little bit about something more encouraging, because we shouldn't ever get bogged down in all the bad things that are happening in the world. You know, God has given us the opportunity to give good news to people, and those who are suffering need to hear it the most. And we're thankful that we've been able to run camps once again this year. In fact, my wife and I just got back two or three weeks ago from Armenia after a summer of camps. And we're thankful that we've been able to speak to these children about this God who loves them, this great big God. When we were singing the song, it reminded me of camp. We sing this song in Armenia Our God is a great big God. And, you know, it's very easy to miss that, to forget that. You know, when we look at what's going on in the world, and we're overwhelmed. But we need to remember that God is a great big God. And, you know, children need to know that as well. We're thankful that we had the opportunity to talk to these kids and give them a good time. Let them have some time enjoying themselves. Many of these children are from families that we help who are extremely poor. And many of them are from refugee families, refugees from 2020. So they get to do crafts and just really enjoy themselves. Armenian Ministries provides these camps free of charge to these children. They wouldn't otherwise be able to come. So everything's covered. The accommodation, the food, everything. And for many, many children, you know, it's just such a holiday for them. So it's wonderful to be able to help them. This year our theme was Lego World. And we have printed these little booklets to give to them. And it was, the idea was living according to God's instructions. Now, I like Lego. I don't know whether there's anybody else here who likes playing with Lego. I still like playing with Lego. I have a friend, actually, and he collects Lego models. And, you know, these models are very intricate. And it's impossible to build them without the instructions, you know. And so applying that same idea to, you know, life. You know, we cannot live life the way God intended us to if we don't live by his instructions. It was a great theme and a great blessing to be able to speak to these children. There are some of them in one of their morning small groups. But, you know, these, as I said, these children, they come from all sorts of backgrounds. And behind the smiles, there's often, you know, there's often a story which is heartbreaking and, you know, really, really can take time to come out. You know, they laugh, they're playing, they're in the swimming pool, they're enjoying the food, and yet sometimes there is something, you know, that's going on in the life of that child, which is, very difficult to understand, you know, why does it have to be like that? I just want to talk about just a couple of examples. So one of the boys is sort of in the middle. His name is Manvel, and he's a young man. He's 12, 13 years old, I guess, and he lives in a container just outside the capital, in a village there, just about 15 minutes from our headquarters. Now, just to give you some context, you know, living in one of these containers would be difficult enough in this country. But when the temperature gets into the 40s, as it does in the summer, and when it drops down in the winter to minus 10, minus 15, imagine trying to live like that with no running water, no sanitation, you know, struggling to heat the place. It's really difficult. And, you know, it's in an area where it's very difficult to get to. You know, just really difficult life for these young kids. And then, as I mentioned, we've also had refugee children. These two, again, you might just be able to make them out. So the guy with the red T-shirt, the two next to him, either side of him, Noi and Narin. Noi is Noah in Armenia. These two are both from refugee families that left Nagorno-Karabakh in 2020 following the fighting, and again they lost everything. And this family didn't only lose their home and their possessions, they also lost loved ones, soldiers who were killed. And I should say this, that many of these soldiers that have been killed are young men, 18, 19, 20 year olds who've been conscripted. And imagine the tragedy that these families face because of that. The last picture that I want to show you is this one. This is of group of refugees starting to leave one of the villages. And you know, they lost their homes, but and all their possessions. But thankfully, you know, for the ones that have escaped to Armenia, they've still got their lives. But there's many that haven't. These two boys, Mikhail and Nevaeh, they were killed just a couple of days, about 3 or 4 days ago. And, you know, there's been some horrific accounts coming out of Karabakh. You know, children, elderly people who have just literally been slaughtered. There was a funeral yesterday for these two boys. The bodies were brought back to Armenia. And can you imagine? You pack up your car with all your belongings and then you put the bodies of your children in there as well. You know, this is the reality of the world that we live in. You know, we're very fortunate in this country that we live in peace. We live in, well, I was going to say relative affluence, but I think relative is probably the wrong word. Compared with many people, we are affluent, the majority of us. And, you know, we are somewhat immune to what's going on, you know, often, you know. And, you know, we need to ask that God would really move in our hearts to give compassion. But I wanted to finish with this photo of these two because, you know, it does sometimes raise this question in our minds and in our hearts. What's happened, God? You know, why do these things happen? And, you know, why is there so much injustice? And, you know, that's not a question that we can easily find the answer to. And I'm not going to, by any means, try and answer it. But we can find comfort in God's word. And I want us to look now at Psalm 99 together. And, you know, and it reminds us of who God is. And that even though terrible things are happening, even though, you know, we are faced with this question of, you know, why God, we can be reminded of who God is and what a loving God he is. Let's read Psalm 99 together, shall we? The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The king is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob you have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. Lord our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God, though you punished their misdeeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. Amen. Now, as we're reading that, you may have noticed that, you know, three times the psalmist here refers to God as being holy. You are holy. Exalt the Lord. Worship at his holy mountain. For the Lord our God is holy. God is a holy God. And, you know, this psalm contains something very amazing because it sets out who God is, describes who God is, and then it comes to who we are and what God has done. And there's, if you like, this incredible contrast. So he says, God is holy. Starts by saying, the Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim, let the earth shake. You know, sometimes we look at what's happening in the world and, you know, we see the great power which nations have. You know, they like to display their military equipment and talk about the strengths. But it says here, the Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble. You know, God is above all things. God is above every nation. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. That is this picture of the glory of God. Now, Isaiah talks about how he saw the glory of God fill the temple. We sang about it. We've sung about the glory of God in one or two of the songs today. You know, God is glorious. We must have this picture in our minds of who God is. God isn't there quivering in the corner. He hasn't lost his power. It's not that God can't do anything. We must remember that God is powerful and mighty. And then it says in verse 4, the king is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity. You know, I think this is so relevant in the days that we live in. You know, we see so much injustice. We see so much inequality. We see so many people who are suffering. God is mighty. He loves justice. God is a God who loves justice. In Jacob, you have done what is just and right. God acts justly. God acts righteously. You know, we can be fully persuaded that, you know, one day God is going to bring to account all the wrongs that have been done. He's not going to let it go. And, you know, there's great comfort in that. There's great comfort in knowing that God will judge justly. There's no halfway measure. There's no letting people get off the hook. You know, God is just, for he is holy. And then look, it says, Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord and he answered them. This God who is glorious, who is mighty, who is powerful, who is just, he answered them. Now, that is a great encouragement for us. Because Moses and Aaron and Samuel and all those who called on his name, they were just like us. They weren't perfect. They'd done things wrong. But they found that God was merciful. They found that God loved them. And he says he answered them. You know, we should keep praying. We should keep coming before the Lord and, you know, bringing our problems to him. Because he answers. Lord, our God, you answered them, it says. You know, God does answer. Sometimes he doesn't always answer the way we would like him to do. Sometimes he makes us wait. But he answers. And we should trust him. We should trust him that he knows what's best. And remember that he is over everything. You were to Israel a forgiving God. Now, I don't know about you, but that for me is wonderful, that God is a God who forgives. You know, we talk about this good news. What is this good news? Well, it is simply that God saw the world. He saw that people had disobeyed him, sin, as it's called. And instead of judging them as they deserve, God, in his love and his mercy, offers forgiveness for anybody who believes in his Son, the Lord Jesus. He's a forgiving God. He can forgive you and forgive me. You know, if you're here today and you know that you need forgiveness, God is ready to forgive you. You can just call out to him and ask him to wash your heart clean, to take away all the guilt, and he will forgive you. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain. For the Lord our God is holy. What a great God we have. What a powerful and a mighty God we have. Let's continue to worship him and to remember all that he's done for us. And continue to take that message to others. It doesn't have to be Armenia. It doesn't have to be somewhere in the world. As Wayne said, we have missionaries here. We have the opportunity and the great call to be missionaries wherever we are, to tell others about what God has done. So thank you very much.